I'd like to play a game with you this morning, if I could. It's a game of word association. I will say one word, and you will shout out the first word that you can think of that is related to that word. Shout it out. I want to be able to hear you, okay? So, is everybody ready? Okay. Here we go. Fast. Red. Apple. Bible. Christmas. Birthday. Chocolate. You like that word. Comfort. Food. Food. Thank you. Some good responses. I want to go back to that word, comfort.
I said hug, Neil.
You said hug? Yeah, hug's good too, yeah. Go back to that word of comfort. When you hear the word comfort, what comes to mind? Some said food. We had hugs. Perhaps it's a warm blanket. Maybe it's family. It's friends. Curling up on the couch in front of the fire. What does it mean to be comfortable? Is it curling up in front of the fire? Is it a cup of hot chocolate after being out in the cold? Is it a good meal spent in the company of old friends? Maybe comfort might be reclining on your favorite chair and falling asleep while the game is on. When we visit a friend, we enter into their house and we are often told to make ourselves comfortable, which is to say, be at ease.
Be without fear.
Be without fear. This is your home away from home. And when we get home from work, we get comfortable. We take off our work attire. We put on some more comfortable clothing. And at Thanksgiving, we wear our turkey pants, which is another way of saying we wear loose-fitting and comfortable clothing. When we think of the word comfort, we don't think of hard things. We think of soft things, which is interesting. Because if you were to study the etymology of the word comfort, you would discover that it is derived from the Latin cum, which expresses intensive force, and fortis, which is the word for strong. So the word comfort means with strength. And somewhere along the history in the 17th century, the idea arose as comfort being something which produced physical ease, which is perhaps our more common usage of it today. So let's think about this word a little bit more. To comfort someone is to support them, to console, to provide them with strength that perhaps they do not feel in that particular moment. Yet we can be comfortable in the sense that we are relaxed and at ease. Today we think the opposite of comfort. We can put in opposites. The opposite of comfort is to be uncomfortable, which might include experiences of pain or stress. So what does it mean to find comfort in the Lord? The Heidelberg Catechism was written in 1563, and it begins with this question: what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer to that question is as follows: that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ by his Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. That's quite the answer to the question of where do we find our comfort in life and death. Friends, what does it mean to find comfort in the Lord? With God, do we find an easy life? In God, do we find rest? And in God, do we find strength? What does it mean to find comfort in the Lord? Our reading from Isaiah this morning begins with that image of comfort. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. What does it mean to you that God offers you comfort? We live fragile lives, don't we? A roller coaster of emotions from birth to death. Our physical health can change from year to year, indeed moment to moment. And our spiritual health under attack constantly from sin. What does it mean that God offers us comfort? How does that comfort change as we journey through the hills and the valleys of life? We find ease in God. At other times, God is our comforter. And still, at other times, God is our strength. At Christmas, we want to be comfortable in that sense of physical ease. We want to relax by the fire. How does the song go? Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at our nose, Yuletide carols sung by a choir. These are the images we have of Christmas. We long to be surrounded by family, enjoying a good meal, and seeing the joy on faces as presents are unwrapped. These are some of the thoughts that come to mind at Christmas. And this is what we think of when we think about comfort at Christmas time. However, there's another aspect of our scripture lesson that we haven't really looked at yet. And it is the question of what does the wilderness have to do with comfort? In scripture, the wilderness was not a safe place. Jesus was tempted for 40 days, after his 40 days in the wilderness. The Israelites wandered with Moses through the wilderness for 40 years. John the Baptist was the voice in the wilderness, the one who would prepare the way for the coming of Christ. The wilderness was not a place that we would describe as comfortable. However, it is a place that with strength we could overcome. It is a place where we put our trust in God, where we acknowledge God as our comfort, God as our strength. In doing so, we are with God. And we need to acknowledge that we all have our own wilderness. The places that separate us from God. The parts of life that we journey through. The times in life which I might kindly suggest should be all times when we need to put our trust in God. When we say to God, you are my comfort, and I am so thankful that you are here with me. Today, each of us stands in our own wilderness. and we listen to the voice of the one who prepares the way. John the Baptist, the cousin of the baby we are all waiting for. He calls us to repent, to prepare ourselves for the birth of Christ, to accept the comfort that is made available by God. And as the passage in Isaiah reminds us, we are weak and full of folly. It is only through God and in God that we find strength. And that might not be the message you want to hear during Advent. We would all much rather prepare for the coming of Christ by attending parties and decorating, by finding comfort in front of the fireplace and in the company of family and good friends. But God says, find your comfort in me. Listen to the voice of the one I have sent, the one who has come to prepare the way. John the Baptist is the opening act. He prepares us to receive the Christ child, and we do need to prepare ourselves. This time of year can be very easy in many respects. At church, we haul out all the old stories about the shepherds and the angels and the wise men and, of course, the birth of Jesus. Wonderful stories. But sometimes I'm afraid that we've heard them all one too many times, that they've become a little too familiar, that in hearing them again, we fail to see just what exactly is going on inside these stories, that we fail to see beyond the birth of Jesus and what his birth represents for us. Of course, his birth was the ultimate gift to us from God. And we are thankful for that gift. We romanticize the moment. We commemorate it in art and with nativity scenes. We forget, perhaps, that Mark's gospel does not even give us an account of Jesus' birth. It starts with John the Baptist preparing a way. A voice in the wilderness. And when the scene changes, it is Jesus being baptized as an adult by John, ready to begin his own ministry. And after Jesus is baptized, it is followed immediately with Jesus being tested by Satan in the wilderness for 40 days. That's how Mark starts his gospel. Before we can get to the birth of Jesus, before we can witness the Christ child, we must first navigate the wilderness. We must hear the voice of the one God sent. The voice says clearly to repent, to come before God, who is our comfort. Mark's gospel reminds us that during Advent, the focus is not on the shepherds, the angels, or any of the other elements of Christmas that we might call traditional. Mark's gospel reminds us that the real beginning lies in our preparation for Christmas. A minister friend of mine posted on Facebook the other day that she was in the store, and the store clerk said to her, "Oh, I'm not feeling very Christmassy right now." To which my friend replied, "Me neither. I'm feeling Advent-y." Oh, what's that mean? Maybe it's a sobering message. The fun and the pageantry today, they're removed from the story. Today it represents a different beginning than maybe we're used to hearing. However, if we remove this beginning, then what we have left is a story about shepherds, angels, and wise men who visit a baby boy. And yes, the boy is the Messiah, but without Mark's gospel, we forget why he needed to come in the first place. And Mark points us directly to the Old Testament, to Isaiah and that promise of comfort that we find in the Lord. And that's a message we need to prepare ourselves to receive. And so I give thanks today for that message. Amen.